Morning Melbourne Church. You know, I write a sermon every week, and a lot of times they come from study, sometimes they come from pure experience, and sometimes they come from a blend of both. And this morning comes from pure experience of what God's been doing in my life lately. And with this being the last Sunday or the fourth Sunday of the month, I do a Q&R sermon, a question and response. And I did not select any one certain question because I have received four questions on the same topic. So what I've done is I've tried to get at all four of these questions in one sermon. And the questions all revolve around, Ryan, what do I do with worry? You know, I worry about my children. I worry about my finances. I worry about this, this, and this. Well, the more I've thought about it, so do I. And I've got a lot to learn and a lot to practice in this area. So in preparing for this morning, I want to start off with a story that I read recently. One day, a married couple were driving down the road, and the man was worried about many things. In fact, his anxieties had totally consumed his thinking. And on this particular drive, his worried thoughts consumed his mouth. Anybody ever wrestled with that? So as that played itself out, he began anxiously saying to his wife things like, I will never amount to anything. I don't have a good job. The kids have lost their minds. I can't buy us a nice house. My friendship with Aunt Mary has fallen apart. The dog is sick. The car needs new tires and we don't have the money. Grandpa has cancer. And his wife tried to get a word in edgewise, but little did she know he was just getting started. And he just kept going. By the way, dear, what if this or this happens? And he just kept going. And she finally got her can full and she cut him off. And she just said to the top of her lungs, stop thinking so much. Stop it. Stop it. Well, this husband was a little shocked at that kind of a response, and he said, well, what am I supposed to think about if I can't think about everything that's wrong in life? I mean, has anybody ever been there? Thank you. I thought we might all relate to this one. I mean, church, our minds can get so overwhelmed with worry, and it happens in the blink of an eye. And over the years, I've had tendencies to worry, I've had tendencies to think too much, and I've had a lot of conversations with others, and they were overthinking to such a degree that they were driving themselves crazy. And then it would come out of their mouths, and they drove everybody around them crazy. And that's how it works. And then everybody's just crazy. And I think that's a really accurate, real-life description of what every one of us go through at some degree every single day. I don't think anyone is exempt from this. I think what we've got to remind ourselves of, church, is that we have the capacity to place more faith and trust in God than in our worries. So I want to start off with saying that. But when we overthink things, you may not do this, but I certainly do. I rehearse these scenarios over and over in my head. I do it all day long. I do it in my sleepless night while I toss around in the bed. And no matter how many times I play that scenario over, the end result never changes. It just drives me crazy. And then I lose sleep, and then I don't feel good. And what I want us to remember is that when we get in that cycle, we try to change the unknowable and unchangeable future. And it can't be done. I mean, that's why we rehearse it over and over again with no solution. And it's ultimately an exercise in futility. Now, fear and reliance are rooted in doing everything that I can to control the outcome. And what this really says is that God cannot manage our lives as well as we can. We've got one up on God when we fall into that trap. And while doubt is a common struggle, church, we can be afraid, we can have questions, we can be confused. And at the same time, we can still choose to bring our concerns to God and ask Him for help. And we can lean more on Him than our imagined or even our real fears. We can do that. It is a choice. It's a choice. Proverbs 3:5 is a great life application. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. And this passage is just simply an invitation to surrender your need to control and figure out every detail of life. I do not have to guide every single outcome the way that I want it to work out. That's God's job. And sometimes I get in His way. Sometimes I try to help Him to the point that I rob myself and everybody around me of what He's trying to give and bless us with. And I let my anxieties be God to me. Now that's not trusting God. That's trusting your backup plan. And if we trust our backup plan, God has been removed from the equation. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 teaches us to cast all your anxiety on God because He cares for you. I looked the word cast up, and it is compared to a pitcher throwing a baseball. Okay, I used to play baseball. It was my favorite sport. And I know what it is to be hit with one of those balls. They're coming pretty quick. Okay, we're supposed to throw our anxieties on Jesus just that quick. Now, that's pretty good imagery. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And why can we do that? Because God loves us. God cares for us, and He cares for us so much. He has the capacity to take on our heavy load when we do not. But we have to cooperate with Him, and we've got to trust Him more than our situations. We've got to trust Him more than the chaos around us. Ultimately, we trust God because when we're not able, the Lord our God is able. He is able when we are not. You go to 2 Corinthians 9:8, we read that God is able to make all grace abound to you. And without the grace of God, we will never see the situations we're in or how to get through them. In Jude 1:24, Jesus is able to keep you from stumbling and make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless, with a great joy. So if you don't want to stumble around through your situations in life, we recognize that God is able and we trust it. You go to Daniel 3:17, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And oh, by the way, oh king, He will deliver us from your hand. You don't even have anything over on God. You see, God is able to deliver us through our circumstances, even when we're standing in a group of lions, even when we're standing in a blaze of fire that can consume our flesh and kill us. God is more able than our circumstances are. But do we put our faith in it? Hebrews 7:25, Jesus is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him. And just in case your situation doesn't fall into any of those, we get Ephesians 3:20 as well. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. So no matter what the problem is, no matter the circumstance, God is able to go far beyond my limited, fallible thinking. And I have to ask myself, am I trusting in the understanding and the thinking of God, or am I leaning to my own understanding that is absent of God? I think that's the critical question we find ourselves in with these crazy scenarios we play over and over in our minds. And I want to say one thing and make sure this is heard. Anxiety and worry do not have the final say-so in our peace. Amen. I'll tell you what has the final say-so. It's our thinking. Our own thoughts have the final say-so in all of our peace. So whatever or whoever we fix our thoughts on, they will or that will control our mind, and our thoughts will completely consume our heart. So the question is this. Do we think more about our problems or more about our God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond anything we are capable to think of or to even ask for? And to move the steering wheel a little bit, what in the world do we do with all this? You know, we have some practical application here, but how do we move even further? Well, first of all, we've got to get out of our own heads and we turn to truth. We have to turn to the truth. When we seek comfort and satisfaction outside of God's truth, church, we are seeking something lesser than God Himself. That's a trap. That's a dead end. Psalm 25:5 is the prayer that must shape our hearts. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. And I'll tell you what, some days are long. Some days just keep going. And that's when I need more of God's truth and understanding and less of myself. That's what gets me through those days in a godly sense. So whenever worry strikes against us, I'm learning and God is shaping me. Haven't made it yet, have not arrived, but I'm beginning to ask God to lead me in His truth. When I feel that craziness go on inside, I can sit down and calm myself down and say, quit it. Stop it. And I can say, God, I need your truth right now because my mind is not bringing it. Put me in your ways and lead me like that. Lead me in calm and peace. Because I got to ask myself, is that of God or Satan? Would Satan want me to think all these worries and anxieties and fears and unease? Or would God want that? And when I can sit down and think about that, now I have a decision to make. And I can decide to meditate on God's word. I can do that. I can do that. I believe that true lasting peace comes when we approach God in faith and we humbly cast our anxieties on Him in prayer. But I think the key is to patiently wait for His response. I think that may be where we go off the rails on this more than not. But faith, I love this. Faith is the refusal to panic. I have nothing to fear if I am focused on the Lord. I mean, if anyone is worthy of our complete trust, is God not worthy of our trust? I mean, He's the one. He's the one and the only one. And if that's true, then my heart and my mind can follow that even whenever my worry gets cranked up. I mean, trusting our Creator, it means intentionally setting our minds and our hearts on Him as absolutely sovereign, as ever-present, as all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful, and He is a merciful God. He sees us, church. He sees what we're in. He hears our prayers, and He is with us, and He already knows exactly what we need. But will we trust in it when it really matters? I mean, faith that refuses to fear, it embraces that God is capable, that He's willing to intervene, even when it looks like the situation is impossible to turn out for the good. So, what does the truth of God's Word really teach us? Well, first and foremost, it teaches us that we're not made to carry the weight of anxious, overwhelming thoughts alone. One thing about life, it's going to bring anxious thoughts no matter how you look at them. Amen? Thank you. That's just going to happen. What changes it is our prepared, ready response for those things to happen. And God never intended us to bear life's burdens in isolation. No man, no woman is an island unto themselves. God invites us to come to Him. He invites us to trust Him for His help and to find rest in His presence. But church, He also designed us to do that in community and to lean on one another as we trust in Him together and lean on one another within the body of Christ. And building strong, healthy relationships in the church, it's one of the ways that we live out Christ's love in practical ways, and it makes us a real family. It makes it real. You go to Galatians 6:2 and we read to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And that means we have to make time for one another during the week outside of these church services. We must become more important to one another the way Jesus is more important than lesser things. There's a lot of things that vie for our time and attention during the week, but is Jesus number one and is your church family number two? Or is it other things? I don't think we can do life very well till we get those priorities straightened out within. One thing I know for a fact, we are a lot stronger and a lot more resilient when we walk together and support one another through the difficulties and the trials of life. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 is a passage that's primarily used in weddings, but I think it's more relevant and more real for the church than anything else, for the family of God. It reads that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. I think of the questions. Who walks with you through life's challenges in addition to your relationship with God? Or do you let anyone in your life at all? You know, isolation is an American thing. And do we let other people walk with us? Can we be less American and more godly? You know, I think is a good question. I didn't write that in, but it's on my mind. Can we really do that? Can we do that? And I'll leave you with this on this note. But if you need help connecting with others in the church, I am asking you to please come have that conversation with me face to face. I'm here most of the week. You can call me, text me, and we can set up a time. But I think it is vital that we connect with one another outside of this building. Outside of this building. Well, that's exactly what we're taught in the Word of God. But also the truth of God's Word, it teaches us that God is deeply and personally invested in our well-being. God wants the best for you, and He's invested in you. And God's care for us is the absolute foundation for our confidence in Him. I mean, we've got to remember that the Father's love is not distant. It's real, it's present, it's active, and He loves every single one of us. And our Heavenly Father's care, it's not reluctant, it is not forced, because it freely flows from His heart of compassion. And we have to know that, feel that, and experience that, church, because that's exactly who God is. He is love. He is. And He wants us to know that. He wants us to be shaped by that. And Jesus affirmed this truth in Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than a bird? Think about that, church. It's an absolute beautiful picture of God's personal loving attention, even to the smallest detail of His creation. He loves. He absolutely loves. And God cares for His birds, all the animals. But I tell you what, He cares for us a whole lot more than an animal. Amen. And praise God. Maybe some of us need to think more about people than animals, because that's godly. That is a godly nature. And a lot of people get left behind because animals take their place. I've seen that in families. Think that's something good to understand. But church, human beings are made in the image of God to reflect His likeness. And He's invested in us. He wants us to reflect more of Him. And the truth, we look at truth. The truth of God's Word also teaches us to manage our thoughts, because managing our thoughts is what begins our trusting God. Peace only comes from a mind that is absolutely anchored in God. Isaiah 26:3 says that you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. I mean, perfect peace is found in trusting God and fixing our thought processes on Him, not on our own. And when our minds spin out of control, I think that's a really good red flag to just stop and calm down and recite Isaiah 26:3 out loud. I think speaking the Word of God out loud, like passages like this, can stop ungodliness in its tracks, and it can redirect our mind, and that will redirect our heart in the moment. And, you know, the things that we think about, you know, we're told, you keep reading Matthew chapter 6 on worry and anxiety. The title in that chapter is The Cure for Anxiety in the New American Standard Version. So the cure for anxiety comes down to thinking about God's kingdom, thinking about His righteousness, His presence, His love, and His care, His own investment in you. And it changes us. And Paul even encourages us in Romans 12:2 to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. We change our thinking and we are transformed by that changed thinking. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 reminds us, don't worry about anything. I mean, there's your cure for anxiety right there. I don't have to read any further. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, if you peel it all back, church, worry is nothing more than a habit and an addiction. We teach ourselves to do it as children, and we generally pick it up from our parents and our grandparents, and it successfully gets passed on to us. So through the teen years and the young adult years, we worry like crazy, and then when we have children, we give it to them. And it's got to stop somewhere. Someone has to get a hold of that and learn how to harness worry and turn that into prayer. That's what stops the cycle. I mean, we exchange fear for prayer. We replace negative thoughts with the truth of God's Word. We choose gratitude over complaining. We turn worry into absolute worship of God in that moment. We swap anxiety out for surrender, and we move from isolation into community, and we do that as a family in God. That changes everything. And that helps position our minds to inform our hearts how to experience God's, His inner peace, deep inner peace, in a real sense, in a sense that will shape us. I also want to remind us, nothing's impossible for our God. Nothing is impossible for Him. Nothing is beyond His sovereignty and His authority and His control. And God either changes our circumstances or God changes us. And the last time I checked, God changes us a lot more often than our circumstances. I think that's telling. And it also tells me that's exactly where real growth exists. I'm going to say that one more time because I don't think anybody heard it. I barely said it. God either changes our circumstances or He changes us. And He changes us a lot more than He changes the circumstances. And that's where real growth exists. You want to grow up emotionally? You want to grow up spiritually? Then meet God in the middle of your difficulty and acknowledge what's been talked about this morning. You will grow unbelievably from that place. You can also shrink down to nothing in that place. But that's a choice. And I am finding that what's been said here today is one of the single greatest challenges in this congregation from the conversations I'm having with many people. It's a big challenge to me in my own personal life. You know, I don't come and preach this to you. I have done my dead level best to pray to God and ask Him to give me the grace to see my own shortcomings in trusting Him and to practice that. Because before I get in a pulpit, if God's not transforming me in something, I can barely preach it. You know, I don't have anything to give you if it's not shaping me. So I'm trying to stay ahead of this, and that's a challenge. And I need your prayer in that. as well. So that's my confession. That's my repentance. And I do need your prayers in that. But church, this is exactly where God refines our faith and he makes us more like himself. That's what he does. And in the kingdom of God, every single trial, every situation, it all becomes an invitation to deeper trust as we lean in to his faithfulness every single day, moment by moment. And peace, what I've learned, is an absolute gift of God's grace. And I pray, and I have been praying this week, that every single one of us will entrust our fears, our worries, our anxieties, whatever you can put in that blank. I pray that we can give all those things into God's care, but not as individuals. I pray that we'll also lean into one another to do that as a family, as we lean in to God to ultimately make that happen. I think that's what will bring more healing and more peace and a stronger congregation that meets right here. So I leave us with those thoughts, but if there's anyone here that would like prayer, if there's anyone here that wants to repent to the Lord and be prayed over, or if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, please come forward as we stand in